so to begin. I want to state the most basic of all facts about brainwashing. In the entire history of man, no one has ever been brainwashed and realized or believed that he had been brainwashed. Those who have been brainwashed will usually passionately defend their manipulators, claiming that they have simply been shown the light or have been transformed in miraculous ways. Conversion is a nice word for brainwashing. And any study of brainwashing has to begin with the study of Christian revivalism in 18th century America. Apparently, Jonathan Edwards accidentally discovered the techniques during a religious crusade in 1735 in Northampton, Massachusetts. By inducing guilt and acute apprehension, and by increasing the tension, the sinners attending his revival meetings would break down and completely submit. Now, technically, what Edwards was doing was creating conditions that wiped the brain slate clean so that the mind accepts new programming. The problem was that the new input was negative. He would tell them, "You're a sinner. You're destined for hell." As a result, one person committed suicide, and another attempted suicide. And the neighbors of the suicidal converts related that they, too, were affected so deeply that although they had found eternal salvation, they were obsessed with a diabolical temptation to end their own lives. Now, once a preacher, cult leader, manipulator, or authority figure creates the brain phase to wipe the brain slate clean, his subjects are wide open. New input, in the form of suggestion, can be substituted for their previous idea. Because Edwards didn't turn his message positive until the end of the revival, many accepted the negative suggestions and acted, or desired to act upon them. Charles J. Finney was another Christian revivalist who used the same techniques 4 years later in mass religious conversions in New York. And the techniques are still being used today by Christian revivalists, cults, human potential trainings, some business rallies, and the United States Armed Services, to name just a few. Now let me point out here that I don't think most revivalist preachers realize or know they are using brainwashing techniques. Edwards simply stumbled upon a technique that really worked, and others have copied it and continued to copy it over 200 years. And the more sophisticated our knowledge and technology become, the more effective the conversion. I feel strongly that this is one of the major reasons for the increasing rise in Christian fundamentalism, especially the televised variety, while most of the Orthodox religions are declining. Now, if you'd like to see a revivalist preacher at work, there are probably several in your city. Go to the church or the tent early and sit in the rear about three quarters of the way back. Most likely, repetitive music will be played while the people come in to the service. A repetitive beat, ideally ranging from 45 to 72 beats per minute. This is, of course, a rhythm close to the beat of a human heart. And this is very hypnotic and can generate an eyes-open, altered state of consciousness in a high percentage of people. Let me inject a word of warning here. If you think you can attend such gatherings and not be affected, you are probably wrong. Once you are in an alpha state, you are at least 25 times as suggestible as you would be. Music is probably the same for every service, or incorporates the same beat, and many of the people will go into an altered state almost immediately upon entering the sanctuary. Subconsciously, they recall their state of mind from previous services and respond accordingly to the post-hypnotic awareness. Watch the people waiting for the service to begin. Many you will exhibit external signs of trance, body relaxation, and slightly dilated eyes. Often they will begin swaying back and forth with their hands in the air while sitting in their chair. The ways to achieve conversion are many and varied. The usual first step in religious or political brainwashing is to work on the emotions of an individual or a group until they reach an abnormal level of anger, fear, excitement, or nervous tension. The progressive result of this mental condition is to impair judgment and increase suggestibility. The more this condition can be maintained or intensified, the more it compounds. Once catharsis, or the first brain phase, is reached, the complete mental takeover becomes easier. Existing mental programming can be replaced with new patterns of thinking and behavior. All right, now step two is programs confusion. You are mentally assaulted while your alertness is being reduced, as in step one. This is accomplished with a deluge of new information. During this phase of decognition, reality and illusion often merge, and perverted logic is likely to be accepted. Over the years, I've conducted professional seminars to teach people to be hypnotists, trainers, and consultants. I've had many of those who conduct trainings and rallies come to me and say, "I'm here because I know what I'm doing works, but I don't know why." After showing them how and why, many have gotten out of the or have decided to approach it differently, or in a much more loving and supportive manner. Now, many of these trainers have become personal friends, but it scares us all to have experienced the power of one person with a microphone and a room full of people. Or add a little charisma, and you can count on a high percentage of conversion. The sad truth is, a high percentage of people want to give away their power. They are true believers.